1 Thessalonians 5:18. Will you stand with me as I read this verse this morning? As soon as I get there. A lot of times I have the passages marked so I can get there quickly, and obviously you can tell I did not do that this morning. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul writes, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you this morning. We thank you for the access that is granted to do so through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we are mindful of those among our congregation who are going through health issues and things of that nature, and we just lift them up to you and leave them before your throne of grace. And of course, our selfish prayer is healing. And Father, we know that in everything you have a purpose and a plan, which will be part of what we address this morning. Father, I just pray that as we look into your word and study it, that the words I use would be the words that you would have me to use, that the Holy Spirit would do his work in our heart through the study of your word together. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We should, of course, be thankful for all the blessings that we enjoy as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as part of the family of God. Certainly, there are many things to be thankful for. We often sing the song, "Count Your Blessings." And it really is good for that to be more than just a song that we sing. It should be something that we do on occasion. Just set aside time to think about all the blessings that we have. And that's not just materially. In the United States of America, we are very, very blessed. I remember years ago, there was a statistic that said, if you have some spare change lying around, some money in the bank, whatever, if you have any disposable income that gets you beyond the day that you're in right now, that puts you in the top 9% of the wealthiest people in the world. Isn't that hard to imagine? So I looked it up. I said, I wonder what that is now. Surely things have gotten better. They have not. In fact, they've gotten 1% worse. If you have any spare change, you are in the top 8% of the world's wealthiest people. Isn't that, I mean, that's just mind-boggling. But certainly we're blessed materially in the United States of America. But all believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And that is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. I just remembered I have a handout somewhere. Bear with me one moment. I had one. Oh, here we go. Rachel, will you hand this out? So we see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 that we are to be thankful. Give thanks in all things, the Apostle Paul says. He says it's the will of God that we do so. And certainly it's easy to be thankful when times are good, when the good times roll around. But I think we all can admit it's not so easy to be thankful when times are difficult, when we're struggling, when it seems like everything in life just is not fitting together in this moment. Maybe everything seems to be falling apart. During those adverse times, it's hard to be thankful. And when we read this passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, many times we say, you know, we can still be thankful during the times of adversity that we are going through. But it doesn't mean that we are necessarily to be thankful for that time of adversity. But I'm going to present you with the challenge this morning that says we are to be thankful even for those adverse times that come into our life. The Bible clearly teaches that we're to be thankful for even the bad times that we go through. This morning we'll see that there are some good reasons to be thankful for those adverse times. Now, it's not a comprehensive list this morning. I think there's a lot of reasons that people suffer, but certainly we can point out from scriptures some good reasons why we suffer. And first of all, I think God might use adversity in our life just to get our attention sometimes. And I think that's true for the unbeliever as well. And we have a couple of examples of that in scripture. In Acts chapter 9, we read that Saul of Tarsus was by all rights a good man. He was a man who, by all appearances, was living a righteous life, living according to the Mosaic law at that time. Paul said later in writing to the Philippians that as touching the law, he was blameless. He felt that he kept the Mosaic law perfectly. But we know that through the lens of Scripture, Saul's life was not pleasing to God. So the Lord found a way to get Saul's attention. He appeared to Saul, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He appeared to Saul as Saul was on his way to Damascus, tracking down more people that he could persecute, those who were following the Lord Jesus Christ, who did believe that Jesus was in fact the Messiah, who had indeed resurrected from the dead. And Paul was persecuting those people, or at that time, Saul of Tarsus. You know the story, but you know there's a part of the story that we sometimes overlook. The Lord didn't just appear to Saul. The Lord afflicted Saul. Do you remember that? Look at Acts chapter 9 and verses 8 and 9. It says, "Then Saul arose from the ground." So the Lord had appeared to him in a bright light, and Saul fell to the ground. And then it says, "Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank." So the Lord afflicted him with blindness. I mean, just stop and think about that for a moment. If you were suddenly afflicted with blindness, what would that do to you? Mentally, emotionally, to suddenly have your sight taken away from you. I mean, I think it would give us time to think, for sure. Stop and contemplate our life. And it's not just true for blindness, it's true for other afflictions that come into our lives. Sometimes feels like the entire foundation of our life has just crumbled, and we're kind of floating in some weird space, and we're trying to make sense of things. And again, we stop and contemplate our life and think about things. Do you really know God? That's one good question to ask. Do you have a relationship with Him? If not, sometimes that's why adversity might come into our life. Sometimes God will bring us down in order to make us look up. So that's one reason that we suffer. There's another classic example of this in the book of Daniel, if you want to be turning there. Daniel chapter 4. You remember Daniel was taken captive by the Babylonians, but he became an advisor to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was a great counselor for Nebuchadnezzar. And you would think that because of that, Nebuchadnezzar would then become a believer because of the influence and the testimony, the witness of one of his best counselors, David. But Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a believer. Now, through David, Nebuchadnezzar knew of God, but he was not one who believed in God. Nebuchadnezzar was still lifted up in his own pride, and in fact, it's the pinnacle of his pride that caused him to be struck down. He was standing out looking over Babylon, and he says, "Is this not great Babylon which I have built?" And this was even after Daniel had told him that the Lord has put these things in your hands. The Lord God has done this. But in his pride, he said, "I have done this." And then in that moment, he was struck down. And for 3 years, he was naked, wandering around, eating grass like the cattle of the field. But then he recovered from that, and he praised God for what he had been through. Look at Daniel chapter 4, starting with verse 30. It says, "The king spoke, saying, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?' While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and it is given to whomever he chooses.'" I said 3 years a moment ago, 7 years, that's the times here. For 7 years, this happened to him. That very hour, the word of the Lord was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws. Now look at this, verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and His ways justice, and those who walk in pride He is able to put down. And it was because of that that he was struck down with adversity for 7 years. And yet, when he came through that, he praised God. Why? Why would he praise God after this happening to him for 7 years? Well, because now he knew God. You see, before, he just knew of God. But now, King Nebuchadnezzar knows God. It was through that adversity that he came to have a relationship with God. If you're going through some time of adversity right now, maybe it's because God is trying to get your attention. I read a story in Guideposts. Are they still around? Guideposts still around? I was a teenager. My mom used to have a subscription to Guideposts. And so I would read it too. After she read it, she would pass it on to me. And I read in there the story that has stuck in my mind ever since I was a teenager. There was a runner who had a great career, good marriage, everything was going great in his life, but he had an accident. He loved running. It's one of his favorite things to do. Now, I think that's weird, but that's just me. But he loved running, but in the accident, he was left paralyzed from the waist down. And so he's wheelchair bound, a man who loved running. But that was only the start of the trials for him. He began to decline in his work, and he got fired from work. And the strain of the being paralyzed and the rehab and missing time from work and getting fired from work and all of that, it was a strain on his marriage. And then his wife left him. And so here was a man who everything was going right for him, and suddenly nothing was going right for him. He, by all rights, he had lost everything. The favorite thing he loved to do, running. Now he's bound in a wheelchair, had lost his job, had lost his wife. What did he have left? And so he went out into the darkness one night while it was raining in his wheelchair, and he shook his fist up in the sky and he said, "God, why are you doing this to me?" And it suddenly occurred to him, this was the first time in his whole life he had even acknowledged that there is a God that exists. And so he became a believer. Now that doesn't mean that everything in his life was suddenly a bed of roses after that, but it gave him a whole different perspective on life. When we go through trials, we're often motivated to just trust in ourselves and in our own resources. But the hope is, I believe, from God, that some people who are going through trials will then turn and look outside themselves. That they will look for God. And He will be there for them. Sometimes adversity just prompts us to look to God and to cry out to Him for deliverance. To see a light at the end of the tunnel. Turn to Psalm 121. If you're able to get there quickly. If not, you can just listen. I'm going to read just two verses here. Psalm 121, the first two verses. It says, "In my distress I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. In my distress I cried to the Lord, and He heard me." Now, this is from a believer here, but he has learned the lesson that in times of distress we need the Lord. We need to look to Him. We need to grow closer to Him. And that sometimes, again, God will use adversity to get our attention. May we learn early when distress comes that we need God's help. And that brings us to the second reason why God might bring adversity into our life. It's to bring us closer to Him, to draw us to Him. And He may use the adversity to do that. How many know what a Bertucci is? I didn't think so. I wouldn't have known either. I didn't know there was a special name for this, but it's a person who trains eagles for hunting. You know, where they have the glove and the thing and they send it off and it'll go and get something and bring it back. Well, how did they train that eagle to do that? To go off and then return every time. They capture this eagle when it's young. An eagle can live for about 40 years, by the way, and serve its master all during that time. But they capture the eagle when it's young, and then for 3 days, it's deprived of food. They place it in this cage. They put a hood over its head, and the one who's going to train the eagle will sit by it and rattle the cage now and then and try to make sure that the eagle can't rest. But the whole time, the man who's training the eagle will sing to it and comfort it while it's keeping it awake. But then the eagle learns to hear the voice of the master. And then after those 3 days, he'll begin to feed it. He'll reach in. Its defenses are completely broken down now. He'll reach in and he'll pet it. He'll establish that connection of touch with it as he feeds it and continues to sing to it and chant to it for hours on end. And then the weakened creature then learns to rely on its master. While the training and the breaking of the eagle may seem harsh, it does paint a picture of what God might do in our lives to break our own independence and cause us to come to Him and learn to rely on Him. God wants us to walk with Him in sweet communion. He wants us to depend on Him for everything. That's His desire in our life. Often we neglect that relationship, especially when things are going good. Because when things are going good, we have a tendency to be like Nebuchadnezzar and think, I'm doing great. I've really got a handle on my life. But who is it really? We must be very careful. When things are going good, it's easy for us to take the credit and maybe not necessarily forget about God, but certainly it can cause us to not acknowledge Him the way that we should. And so God may bring that adversity back to our life, back into our life, so that we will turn back to Him wholeheartedly, so that we know where our shelter really is and that we are reminded how much we truly do need Him. A quote I read in preparation for this, it says, I don't remember where I got it from, but it says, in the day of prosperity, we have many refuges to resort to in our prosperity. But in the day of our adversity, we have only one. And God might bring that adversity to remind us of that. In our troubles, we need to learn to rely on God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start reading with verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Our God is an ever-present shelter when the storms of life come our way. He waits for us to draw close to Him and for us to cast our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that He is there. Psalm chapter 130 and verse 1 says, out of the depths I cry unto You, O Lord. May that be true of us. When we are down in the depths, cry out to the Lord. In Psalm chapter 18 and verse 6, it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So God might cause adversity to come into our life just to get our attention. God might allow adversity, trials, troubles to come into our life to draw us closer to him. God might allow these troubles to come into our life to strengthen us, to make us stronger. God doesn't allow suffering to come into our life so that it can destroy us. That's not the purpose. I think everything has a purpose. I don't think anything happens by accident, especially for a child of God, one who has trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I think God has a purpose in all things, even in the adversity. And it sometimes may be that God is bringing it our way to make us stronger. You know what happens if you see a butterfly trying to break out of a cocoon? You know, it was a caterpillar, and then it went into the chrysalis, and it becomes a butterfly, and you see it hatching, and you decide, I'm going to help that thing out of there. And you break it open. You know what happens to the butterfly? It will never fly. Because it's in breaking out of that cocoon that it actually gains the strength in its wings to be able to fly. Isn't that incredible? And the same thing is true for us as believers. It's in the going through of these struggles sometimes that God makes us stronger. He uses that suffering in our life to strengthen us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Hopefully you're still there. Your passage in 1 Peter 5. Verse 10, it says, But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After our suffering. There is a purpose in our suffering, you see. What about exercise? Who likes to exercise? Only Brother Ken. He loves it. We already knew he was weird. No, to some degree, it feels good to get the body moving, right? But how do you get stronger? You have to lift things that you're not accustomed to lifting. You have to get heavier and heavier weight. You have to put more and more resistance in front of you for a runner. You have to run farther and farther in order to strengthen your body if you're going to be a runner. So in other words, there's a certain amount of suffering that you have to put the body through in this exercise for your body to get stronger. And unfortunately, it's true in the spiritual sense as well. Another quote I ran across said, Our strength often increases in proportion to the obstacles which are imposed upon us. Our strength increases in proportion to the obstacles that we face. That's true in the physical sense, also in the spiritual sense. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, let's turn there and look at that passage. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul, in praying for the believers there in Colossae, to whom he was writing this letter to, he says his prayer for them is that they be strengthened with all might according to his, that is God's, glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Being patient and long-suffering in the struggles that we go through, being able to do it with joy. Another way to render this verse is, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient and joyful. You see, that's during the time of the struggles. Being patient and joyful in the struggles. Why should we be joyful? Well, again, because I believe nothing happens by accident for us. God may be using that struggle to get our attention, to bring us closer to him, to make us stronger in our spiritual walk. He may be using trials and struggles in our life to refine us, to cause us to have a more holy walk before
our Lord.
God's ultimate goal, you see, is not our comfort. God's ultimate goal is not for our comfort. His ultimate goal is to use us to reach other people. His ultimate goal is to save the souls of lost men. And now we're engaged in that purpose as well, being of His children. Nowhere in the Scriptures is this more evident than in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was a man who served God once he was converted from Saul of Tarsus to become the Apostle Paul. He served God. He went about trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happened for him? Was it a smooth, easy road for him? No. Paul endured all kinds of suffering in his life. But through it all, these things happened for the Apostle Paul. Exactly what we're talking about this morning. First of all, it got Paul's attention. And he did draw closer to God. And the adversity made him stronger. And also, it refined him in his walk with God. And the same thing can happen for you and I. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, now, Paul is now in prison at the end of the book of Acts. And there were all these things that happened to the Apostle Paul in the spreading of the gospel during that time. But as he's in prison there and writes to this gathering of believers in Philippi, he says to them about his suffering in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, I want you to know that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Again, it wasn't about the Apostle Paul being comfortable in his life. It's not about our comfort. It was about the Apostle Paul being used to reach other people. And he was certainly used of that, even still so today, through these letters that he wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we study from. Paul's hardships worked out to be a blessing for countless other people, and still do. We never know what avenue God may use to make us a blessing to other people around us. Typically, we only think about being a blessing in the material sense. You know, that we can give some of our money, and in that way, we're a blessing to other people. Well, that's absolutely true, but that's not the only avenue in which our life can be a blessing to other people. It just may be that we're a blessing to other people through afflictions that we face in our own life. We should heed the admonition from the Apostle Paul that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. There the Apostle Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that includes giving glory to God not only in times of distress, but also for the times of distress. I forgot to advance the slide here, so I'm going to do that quickly. We're talking now about God bringing adversity into our life to make us a blessing to other people. And again, that can certainly be true. Through adversity, we can be a blessing. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Paul says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And again, that includes giving glory to God not only in the times of distress, but also for those tough times in our life. Do you remember the adversity that Joseph went through back there in Genesis? He wasn't disowned by his brothers. They hated him. They wanted to kill him, but the oldest brother, Reuben, talked him out of killing him. He said, let's just throw him in a pit for a while. He intended to come back later and get Joseph, because as the older brother, he knew that his father would hold him responsible if anything happened to his younger brother, Joseph. So he was going to go back later and get him. But while Reuben was away, the rest of the brothers sold Joseph into slavery to a caravan that was going down to Egypt. And they sold Joseph into slavery there. But we also know how that turned out. But in the midst of all of that suffering, what is one question, if that were us and this was happening to us, what is one question we might be asking? Why? Why is this happening to me? But God used it. Years later, the reason for all of that adversity that Joseph had gone through became apparent. Because God then used that to elevate Joseph in Egypt. And he then was able to communicate to the Pharaoh that there were going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years, and in the 7 good years, we need to hold back so that in those 7 bad years, there won't be millions of people that starve to death. We'll be able to help them. Not only was this beneficial for the Egyptians, but even for neighboring areas around. And you know how that went. How that Joseph's family then had to come down to Egypt to ask for food. And because Joseph was put into that position, he was able to be a blessing for his family. Because he had gone through that adversity, now that adversity turned out to be a blessing for his family. And not just his family. For many other people as well. That they didn't starve to death. So Joseph concludes the matter in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Joseph says, "As for you," talking to his brothers, he says, "As for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save many people alive." God used what for good? The suffering, the adversity that Joseph had gone through. So now, with the eyes of hindsight, Joseph could not only thank God during the adversity that he was in, but Joseph could now thank God for the adversity that he had endured. Because it was through all of that that Joseph was in the position that he was now to save many people. God might use us through suffering that we have endured as a comfort to someone else later down the road. How many times have there been people around you that you see suffering through something that you yourself have been through before? And then because you have been there, you're able to reach out to them and you're able to help them in a way that others can't. I mean, when we're going through adversity, it's one thing for people to wish us well, but it's another thing for somebody who's been there and been through that and knows what we're going through to come be by our side and help us out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talks about this. And I'd like you to turn there and look at this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 4. In verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now I want you to look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, "Who, speaking of God, comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." What Paul is talking about there is that we've been through it before. God comforted us through those times of trouble. And so now, when we see someone else suffering through that, we're able to come to their side and help them out. And it can be so many different things. Financial loss, the loss of a job. How many of you have been through that before? Loss of a job, being laid off. Divorce. That's a time of adversity. That's certainly a difficult thing to endure and go through. The death of a parent. That can be devastating for people. The death of a spouse. And there are some of you who have been there. And so now when you see someone else going through that, you're able to reach out and help them. The death of a child. Something no parent should ever have to endure. Unfortunately, though, it happens. And some of you have been there.
the death of a child or even the death of a grandchild. And so now when you see others going through that, you're able to reach out and help them. I want to tell you a bit of a personal story. And that is in my own experience and some of those things, I didn't fully get through my grieving process until I reached out to help someone else who had been in those kinds of sufferings that I've been through in the past. And in reaching out and helping them, I was a blessing to them, but it's not just that. I was able to fully recover myself from the grief that I was experiencing and didn't even realize it, that I had unresolved grief until I reached out to help those other people. So it helps us as well when we reach out to be a blessing to others. One final quote. If you use your pain to bless others, you yourself will find true healing in the experience. And that's what I have found to be true, and I hope it is for you as well. So why do we suffer? I don't know all the reasons. We live in a sin-cursed world. There's a certain degree of suffering that's just a product of the world that we live in. And yet, I also believe that the God that I serve is a God big enough to use those times of adversity in my life. That there is a purpose in those things. Why does adversity come? It could be that God's trying to get our attention or draw us closer to Him or make us stronger or refine us so that we are a better testimony for Him in our life, a better ambassador for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or it may be that somewhere down the road we are able to be a blessing to others through the adversity that we have gone through. But I believe that our God, again, has a purpose, whatever it is, so that we can not only be thankful during those times of adversity, but we can even reach a point in our life and our spiritual maturity that we are also thankful to God for those times of adversity that have come into our life. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this time that we've had this morning to look into Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You are God, and we are not. If we were to do things our own way and our own understanding, we will mess it up every time. We are thankful that we can lean on You and trust in You. As You have told us, Your ways are not our ways, and Your thoughts are much higher than ours. May we learn to fully trust You in everything that comes our way, the good times and the bad, that You, Father, do indeed have a purpose in the adversity that comes into our life. May we pause and contemplate on it, look for it, and even if we can't find what that reason might be, that we still wholly trust You, that You have some purpose, some goal that You are working out, and still be thankful to be used by You in whatever Your purpose is. Father, we thank You and praise You in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.